Is your company growing or is it just getting busier? Every decision you make this week either builds your company's value or burns it down. I'm Norris Avazian, and thank you for tuning into the Service Crucible podcast, where we skip the off-the-shelf solutions and get straight to what works. I started my career running a truck, then led service teams across the country, from mom-and-pop shops to overseeing a 20-company division inside a home services private equity portfolio. This show is where we strip it all down so you can lead with clarity and build something that actually works. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Service Crucible podcast. I'm the host, co-founder, and CEO. I'm not the co-founder. I'm the founder and CEO of Service Crucible. And this is the Service Crucible podcast. We have a true innovator and, in my opinion, a legend and one of the nicest people that I've ever met who truly leads with her heart and tries to always do the right thing while never compromising on values, the CEO of Camp Digital, Katie Donovan. Thank you so much for making the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I want to tell you, I get a lot of introductions, and that was probably the best one. I really
appreciate what? That. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, because, you know, so many of us in our jobs, in our lives, we think success or failure can be determined by a balance sheet. And I think the reason you and I have always gotten along is that's only part of success. Real success comes from the way you just introduced me. I think leading with your heart, bringing people with you, being able to sleep at night, and you and I, that's why you and I became fast friends.
Yeah, it could be a day, a week, or a month since we last would get in touch, and we just pick it up like we just hung up 5 seconds ago.
As long as it starts with pictures of your baby girl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how you can tolerate looking at this face, right?
That's right.
Where you overheard me talking about some marketing nightmares that I was going through. And I have a very unique outlook on the relationships to be had between marketing agencies and business owners or key decision makers in a home service business. And, you know, back to what you said about the opening, a while ago, I don't know how many years it's been, I complimented someone. And this is a person that I had known for some time, and they said, "Norris, I really appreciate your compliments because you leave no doubt into the thoughtfulness and care you put into the compliment. It's not face value, and I believe we have to put effort into that. We have to put effort into any relationship, and we just hit it off from the start, and that's where our first conversation really was.
The relationship between that was our first conversation, but I knew you from before that by reputation,
right?
Because we had a lot of you had done so much down when you were managing down in Florida. I don't know if you talk about the brands or not that you were at, but
that one, yeah, we can bring up. It's Best Home Services, yep. The first one to be acquired by Apex and Alpine.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And so you were kind of a known commodity for the work you had done and the success you had down there, as well as some other places I'd followed you on the journey, just because everywhere you popped up, there was a lot of good things behind it for sure.
And I feel ashamed for have not known about you sooner.
Oh, you can't even fake it.
It's okay. But then I like, you know, it didn't take any digging for me at all. I was like, holy crap, she's got half of Nexstar, and people know about Camp Digital left and right. And you make the learning, acclimation, and onboarding process of getting a truly competent marketing team to work for you as a home service busy so easy and accessible and easy to learn. I was like, I am so glad I met you. So
I appreciate it. And that's kind of one of our passions, and I think really good kind of content for today. Like I believe in the trades very strongly. I believe that it's one of the only places you can work a good, honest job and feed a family of four without having to have a second job at night, you know, and anyone who puts their heart and soul into it can do it. I truly love the trades and feel like they should be pushed more, but I think a lot of it comes through partnership and education, like just making sure people are seeing things. You know, we were just talking to some clients and some things people might be interested in on here. If you're an AEC, the prediction for Google this coming year for 2025, we're in. Is that it's, and this shouldn't be a shock to anyone, but it's going to cost more to get a conversion. And what they've started to figure out is what those higher intent keywords are. So we're seeing things for like AC repair having a greater increase in cost than things like, sorry about that, than things like AC or HVAC company near me. So you got to get kind of into it and stay, you know, as Google's getting more sophisticated and our competitors are getting more sophisticated, really learning about how can I take advantage of that? And that's why I love sharing those stats with people and that information so they can make informed strategic decisions in their marketing.
So that's really, really interesting to me. And it also highlights the fact that, in my opinion, and based off of everything you and I see every day, that as far as a timeline of change where there's this constant evolution with how the landscape of marketing, digital, AI, search engines, it's a very volatile environment right now. Everybody thinks they're the answer, and then the extinction cycles are almost near instant sometimes with the onset of newer, better technologies. The compounding rate of development and effectiveness of this technology is extremely fast, faster than anything we've seen before.
I just read a great quote you'll love. Let me see if I can find it. It came, I was watching a Microsoft webinar about AI. And for anyone who doesn't know, Microsoft's ChatGPT, right?
Sure.
They said it's about the wow, how, and now. 2023 was about the wow in AI, like, wow, it can do that. Wow, it's going to do this. 2024 was about the how am I going to do this? But 2025 is about the now. How are you going to make AI incorporated in your customer journey, in your business? And I think people, to your point, get a little too obsessed with like trying to figure out the great ways. Just make small, who was the guy? Atomic Habits, the 1% changes.
Yes.
Just
Yeah, the
make
penny
small
gamut.
little
Yep.
changes, right? Like get in there and like, can I get an AI answering service that answers after hours? Maybe you're not comfortable yet. Maybe just take an overflow. Maybe it's just take an after hours. Get comfortable with the
Crawl,
technology.
walk, run. Yep.
Crawl, walk, run. Use ChatGPT to answer an email. If you have Google email, you can use Gemini. I use it on my Facebook. I just did a Facebook post. I was in Memphis yesterday and we got to go see Martin Luther King's, the National Civil Rights Museum has where Martin Luther King was assassinated. And I was writing a post about it and I was on the plane and I just hit rewrite it with AI, you know, and it rewrites it. It's like it gets it, like it gets it so right. It did add the words awe-inspiring, which I don't really think I've ever used in my entire life, but nevertheless, like it really was. It was awe-inspiring. So yeah, and just start using the little bits. Don't get obsessed to your point because ChatGPT may be the latest and greatest, but then all of a sudden that DeepSeek came in and everyone ran to that side of the ship and now we're back over to ChatGPT. Just start using it. Just start getting involved.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, to bring in like the overlap of thinking and philosophy from an operating mindset, right? And adopting something new or spending something new or implementing whatever it is, questions that I love asking, and I love making it to the point where I see my team asking these questions on their own volition is, does it make financial sense? Okay, can you follow the numbers? Can you see the impact that's going to have on your financials? Number one. Number two, then ask these three back-to-back questions, which is it repeatable? Is it sustainable? And is it scalable? You just ask those three questions, and if you check the boxes, you might be onto something. And it doesn't necessarily mean you got to jump both feet in first, but at least you made the decision instead of being paralyzed.
But it starts with a test too. I agree with you on that. But I and the only thing I think I have any pushback on is that does it make financial sense? I think a lot of tests maybe in the beginning don't necessarily.
No.
I don't mean throw good money after bad, but if you no matter how big or how small you are, if you have a small say, I'm going to do one test, and I don't mean financial sense always dollars and cents because what sometimes depending on our size, time is the most valuable asset we have, right? If I'm a
Yes.
still in a truck, driving around a truck, my time is more valuable than anybody's, right?
Yep.
But I think it's just a matter of saying, I'm going to try one new thing today. And it doesn't, to your point, it doesn't have to be wild. It could be, I want to rewrite all my outbound messages for my clients, throw the existing one into ChatGPT and see how ChatGPT says you can make it more personal, more professional, more endearing. You can take it, throw in a ChatGPT and say, and include a referral request, because I know we're all really uncomfortable
Oh, of
doing that.
course.
Boom, pops right in. I mean, so to me, it's a matter of just give it a shot, do something, try something, do at least
100%.
one.
Absolutely. And if there's if there's a certain threshold that is met in the literacy of your own financials, the question of does it make financial sense, even though you've not been able to prove it, or you don't have enough data to quantify to answer that question of does it make financial sense, your familiarity with your numbers should be able to lend to your imagination of how would this plug in, how would it enhance, how would it take away, and that can help you make the decision. So, all right, there's something that you mentioned as far as the keyword changes, the wow, the here, the now, right? And then the placement of traffic and inbound volume generation for a home service company. So I was doing a group coaching call with members and today actually, and I was walking them through the relationship between some key KPIs that I don't think business owners know enough about, and they should, and if they don't, it's like it's okay to feel ashamed of yourself, so but what are you going to do about it? Impressions, CTR, CTC, and what do you call it? CPC, ultimately. And how to read that. And then, are you granular enough, not too granular, but not too basic, in your campaign categorizations and your service side and for lead attribution information to know how to communicate with your marketing agency to say, hey, let's spend money here. Let's focus on this zip. Let's generate more of these job types. Why don't home service owners know enough about this? And why do they jump into deadly relationships with marketing agencies that are clueless about home services and they end up being hurt and they lose a lot of money? Why?
Do you know what PFM is?
No, please tell me.
It's pure fucking magic. And I think a lot of marketing companies want you to believe that that's what it is, right? And it's not. You nailed it. So for us, we look at many of those things you mentioned: impression, click-through rate, cost per clicks, conversions, conversion by type. That's super important because not everybody calls a conversion the same thing, and I don't wait a chat conversion the same as a phone call, the same as an online booking. Online booking is chef's kiss, right? Because I booked a call is probably second place, because it could just be, hey, you left your ladder at my house, because I hear those all the time, way more than I should, by the way. And it but it could also be, do you guys install 40 gallon water heaters, and do you have one available today? And then down to like a form fill. Because those are generally people in the buying cycle, a little bit more in the investigation than a chat. So you want to look at those conversions by type too. But really, what it comes down to is what you're saying. Bookable. Was it a bookable call? Did it book? Did it run? And did it run for revenue? And that kind of highlights the path in my mind of where you've got potential issues. So going back to kind of what you said, I think there's not a lot of people who specialize in the trades. And I think that's so important, because there is no other industry that I have heard of or worked in that has such low interest, such high intent. You and I have been in the trades for a long time. Never, not one time has one of my friends said, "Hey, Katie, you got to see this new water heater I just got." Right? I got this heat pump, Katie. It is the bu but my friends. One of my friends just put in a brand new heat pump system, spent a ton of money on it. Y'all know what a heat pump costs nowadays for a big, decent-sized house. He got a lawnmower that was $900. We spent 10 minutes out in his garage this last weekend with him showing me all these things on this darn lawnmower, right? 900 versus a heat pump. So it's if you don't know the space, I think it becomes really simple and easy to not necessarily know how the trades work. And then I think a lot of marketing companies prefer you to not know. There's a lot of good marketing companies, though. I like to focus on the good. There's a lot of great ones out there. A lot of people I consider good competitors. that are out there that that do a good job and they know the space well and they're willing to work with you. But it goes both ways, you know. You could say,
Really does.
"Oh, listen, I'm going to get in trouble for anyone hearing this. They're going to think I'm just like a marketing company." But it's not about more leads nowadays. It's about working these leads. Yeah, do you have a process? When that phone rings, do you have a process whether it was a bookable call or not?
Thank
Do you have a
you.
process whether it booked or not? If it didn't book, so many people hang up. Last year, Google gave me these stats. I did not believe them, Norris. So I went out to a bunch of our kind of large customers and said, "Validate these stats for me." And they did. 29% of your conversions will happen after the first phone call. So 30% convert day one, 29% convert day 2 to 7.
That's the lion's share right there.
What are you doing to follow up? You just spent $150 with Google, with your mailing company, with your TV, with your OTT, with your truck wraps, with your amazing branding, all that stuff. What are you doing to follow up when it doesn't convert?
For those of you listening, if you're not on Marketing Pro, Chirp, Hatch, or RP1, please activate your missed call, your abandoned call, campaigns immediately. Good Lord.
Absolutely. And if you can't afford tech, if you're a startup, a guy in a truck or a gal in a truck, you know, it's just you and your wife, and I say that not to be sexist, but a lot of the small groups I work with, husbands in the truck, wives in the office,
Yeah.
right? It's you and your wife. What do you just follow up with those? You got some time in the afternoon. Kids haven't gotten home from school yet. Phones are slow. You just finished doing the books. Pick up the phone and call four or five of them that just called. Hey, did you know you? You said you were just looking for on pricing. Did you find pricing? No, I didn't yet. Well, you know what? I got an opening tomorrow morning. You want me to just send my guy out? Yeah, but if you can do tech, this goes back to our AI thing. For by all means, any of the ones you just listed, Chirp, Hatch, RP, any of these ones, RP1, any of them, highly recommend because they're worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, and if anybody's listening, I've got pre-built campaigns for Hatch, Chirp, and RP1.
Even better.
And so RP1 comes preloaded with campaigns. Chirp has a great library too. Hatch, the little bit more upside, but their UI is great. Whether you're a member or not, Service Crucible is built on service first, revenue second, because I love the trades. I love this industry. It's a way of life. Just email me, norris@servicecrucible.com, and I'll send you, I don't know, a dozen templates for any trade.
Listen,
That's yeah.
let me make it make sense mathematically
Please.
for a second, because, and this is coming from someone who does digital marketing. You already sunk the cost. You already paid the fee. You're going to pay another 100 to 150 bucks to get another lead, right? Call it, let's say you're on LSA only. Right now we're seeing across one of the largest books in the trades for LSA. We have, on average, we saw $66 for a cost per lead last quarter one of 2025, $66 for a cost per lead. So you're spending that 66 bucks. You're going to go get another $66 to get another lead that you may or may not book, or put that towards a solution, put that towards a Chirp or a Hatch or an RP1 and Service Crucible, who's got those built-in campaigns. Put that towards that, and you're going to see a better return. I mean, and that's for somebody who was spending the 66 bucks on your behalf.
Yeah, honestly, it's a no-brainer. It can't be said loud enough.
Yeah.
And one of the moments where I was like, okay, I really love Katie and I respect her, is you, without me really baiting you to say it, you said companies should improve their call center performance and systems and processes before they spend more money on marketing.
Amen.
And we just went through this entire life cycle of designing the campaigns, relevancy, the personal touch, getting the impressions, the clicks, the calls, the cost. And then it's going to fall on a call center that has at best a 60% booking rate. There's no redundancy plans in place where you can never, ever completely trust how calls are excused as not leads, by the way. Which more attention should be put on that from the Service Titan side, to be honest with you. There should be a
Totally
feature
agree.
that audits excuse calls. That is just a gold mine waiting to happen. And all of that work and all of that money, I mean, marketing is your biggest lever that you can pull below the line. It's like some people are spending a ridiculous 10, 15% on marketing budget. where just a few tweaks can drastically decrease your spend and increase your inbound, and you capture more. It blows my mind. This kind of conversation needs to be heard in every part of the country, and it upsets me that it's not being spoken about more and more and more. But I think we're seeing a shift
Well,
finally.
but I think the reason it isn't being spoken about more and more to ask about the marketing company things is most marketing companies, now this feels like a shameless plug, it's not, but most marketing companies are built around the more you spend, the more they make. At Camp, we are not. But I think that's what's given us the ability to change the narrative and say, no. The least amount I can get you to spend, the better in your return. And if I can tell you to go spend it somewhere like investing in a Chirp, a Hatch, RP1, I'm trying to list all the ones you list, a Service Crucible for proper follow-up, because it's not just about getting the tool. You got to make sure the tool is tuned correctly, right? Like anyone can buy a Porsche, but only a few people know how to drive one, right? So if you really get in there and do that, that investment's worth it. But I think a lot of the marketing incumbents and marketing companies and the incumbents in the space have unfortunately built their business plans around it's better for them if you get the second $66 for the lead, as opposed to getting you to convert that lead properly.
It's a failure to play the long game or identify
Totally agree.
that if they play the long game, it is going to be so much more beneficial for them. It boils down to relationships. I keep saying over and over and over again, the foundational bedrock of our industry is built on relationships. And you look at these incumbents that are over $250 million, the top 1% of the 1% of the country, some of them that are still privately owned, who don't even have, let's say, celebrities on a social media presence, right? And they're just quietly growing and growing and growing into these titans that they already were. They're just getting bigger. And I take a lot of consultative phone calls with these third-party research analysis firms, where they get these Ivy League interns to make phone calls on behalf of sovereign funds and stuff like that. A common theme is who were the winners, who were the losers during the kind of like the post-COVID crash, the recession before that, the inflationary market and everything else. And because of my experience, shameless plug, national in scope, I'm able to be selected for these, and they pay a stupid amount of money per hour just to hear me talk. It's ridiculous. I would have never believed it if you had told me that I would be making money that way a few years ago. But it draws into an interesting perspective, because everything that we've spoken about from the marketing side, what I'm bringing up about the relationship side, the effectiveness of the call center, it makes me think of these titan level incumbents and how they maintain their relationships with their customer base,
Yes.
how they nurture them, and how they didn't lose an iota of momentum and growth even when the rest of the country was burning down around them. And that's something to learn from. Memberships are never going to go away. You can call it something else. Maybe they're going to evolve into something else. The relationship interaction aspect is changing exponentially because of all the new tech that's coming into place. And these conversations need to be had between operators and their marketing agencies. And that's going to turn into a question that I really want to ask you. I'm curious. If there was a crash course that was mandatory for a marketing agency first time getting into a relationship with a home service business, and a home service business that doesn't have a lot of experience dealing with marketing agencies, what are the top handful of things a marketing agency should know about home services and vice versa on the home service side? What do you think?
I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to go back because you said something so genius and I want to call it out.
Okay.
But answer that question. That's kind of what we did, right? So we came into the space, not in, and but we were humble enough to say exactly the question you just said. What makes marketing in the trades work? What makes it tick, and what should be based around? And it is all based around the capacity. I mean, obviously, CAMP stands for capacity aligned marketing platform. So maybe I'm eating my own dog food. But in my history of working in the trades, I have never once, not once, had a general manager or a service manager or anyone for that matter call me and say, Katie, I had a great impression share day. Taking my wife to dinner tonight, my impression share was so good. We're getting steaks, right? Or paid for the kids' college funds on my click-through rate. It's all about the capacity in the business because you can't make more. I can make more. You like my glasses? I can make more glasses. You like my shoes? I can make more shoes if I'm nice, right? I'll have those developed. Whip out my shop in China. They'll be there in 10 minutes, right? Can't be in this space. You're full or not full. That, and I think really understanding the customer journey, it is incredibly unique in this space. I was just having lunch yesterday with a client in Memphis. They have, I think, the largest PE in pools, and we didn't want to get into pools. He encouraged us to do it. We got into pool, and I said, I don't want to get into it because I don't know anything about it. I don't know the customer journey. And he said, Katie, I got a guy for that. We sat down with this guy. He was so generous with sharing with us all of the information about the customer journey of a pool company. How and where customers find pool companies, what makes them change pool companies, when do you engage pool companies, what is the relationship, all of that fun stuff. And understanding the customer journey is what we built all of our search around, not the other way around. Not, hey, I'm a good search company, let me go take on pools. It's really understanding the customer journey. So taking time to find people like you, and again, it sounds like I'm just plugging you, but I'm not, but taking the time to find people like you who can share information about the customer journey. You called me 6 months ago, and you had this great idea. I want to say it in case you haven't shared it, but it was a great idea. It really was. Like taking that and saying, how do we utilize those kind of things to make, to meet people in the customer journey? So that, and then understanding the business journey, the capacity. But I want to go back because we have a lot of those clients you talked about, those large, I mean, $250 million companies that are many of us privately hold as clients of ours. We're very lucky in that regard. We are much like you and them, we try and be kind of quietly humble. But I'll tell you something they did different that people do not get and are not embracing, and I think is one of the secrets to success. Your membership base is not there for you. You should be there for your members. So what do we always do? We call the members when stuff is slow, and oh, I'm going to come out, and then we rebook them and 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 rebook them. Drives me insane. When is the last time if we put a membership on the P&L like the PE companies do, but really put it on the, imagine it sitting on a P&L as a valuation for your company. How would you treat that member different? Would you send out a little an email that says, hey, don't forget to change your filters, even if you don't sell the filters, just to be kind. As a member, you're important to us. Here's the brand of furnace that you have, and here's the filter that goes with it. Just a simple something of value for your members.
Sounds like an abusive relationship with what everybody else is doing.
It drives me insane. And it is, Norris. I don't know if you see something different. So call me out if you think I'm different. But so many of my
No, I my mind is blown. It's crazy. It just immediate impact, fireworks in my head. That is so valid,
And
so
you don't have to
valid.
spend money. I'm not talking about sending them cookies on their birthday, although that's nice. I'm not talking about, but just here's a VIP phone number because you're a member. And when you call into this line, we're going to treat you different. Thank you. I fly a lot. When I call Delta, Delta answers the phone. Hello, Mrs. Donovan. How can I help you? They know
Amazing.
what I mean. I'm not even saying that necessarily for you, but I have a lot. My phone doesn't sit on hold for 25 minutes because I fly a lot. I get right to somebody. What about a VIP phone number because you're a VIP member? What about an outreach? Instead of just treating them like they're there for us, we got to treat it like we're there for them. And that's
I
where I see those
am
big companies.
buzzing with thoughts and energy right now.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Okay, so I feel very fortunate and blessed, very, very lucky to have started my career with Michael and Son Services, headquartered in Alexandria, Virginia. And they were true innovators. And what do you call it? From going from one truck after Bassam's dad died, him and Elias in out of the family garage to over 250 vehicles, over 250 million in multiple states and multiple cities. One thing that I remember as clear as day is managers had a number, two numbers divided by a slash embroidered on their shirts. And the sticker of these numbers was on their office doors as well. And it said 100 slash zero. And it meant 100% accountability, 0% excuses. Imagine advertising that, owning it, buying into it, and holding yourself accountable to it, and basically the display sending out the message that I expect to be held accountable to it.
Yeah.
The influence that it has, the way that it helps you lead. And then they were one of the first to do this. And I'm pretty, you know, this whole industry, I'm sorry, is based on R&D, not R&D that you think about. It's called rob and duplicate. That's what R&D is in home services. You ain't going to reinvent the wheel because there's only so much you can modernize in the relationship. People can sniff out your character in the first 5 seconds they meet you or hear you over the phone. The rest depends on following through on the expectations you set. If you set a crappy expectation, expect to be treated like crap. So, one of the they every $5,000 or above purchase to your success, one of the vendors in multiple networks where you know they do next day, same day cookies and coolers and brand and stuff like that. Michael and Son invested in the dies and the stamping and the painting of cookie tins in the shape and design of their service trucks. So instead of, you know, like a mass imported Yeti knockoff or some kind of lunch bag, it was a piece of Michael and Son that went there. And it was a thank you. In our packets that we would use to run Kohl's every day, there was a coloring book and crayons for kids, a chew toy for the
Oh, I love
dog,
that.
magnets.
Love that.
And like that personal touch is really, really important. And wow, okay, you got me going. And it's like what you brought up, it's like, how are we there for them? Here's an idea off the cuff. National Hug a Plumber Day. Send them a postcard with a plumber in your uniform that they can cut out with a scissor. Hey, it's National Plumber Day. Want to say we appreciate you. We don't expect you to hug one of our plumbers in person because of all the places they've been, but you can cut one of, you know, you can cut Bob out of this postcard and give him a hug. Be cool for us to see you to take a picture and post it on social media too. Boom. That'll create a buzz. But I put a lot of thought into the core values of Service Crucible, and and this is not a plug because it's just you cannot have a millimeter of doubt in the relationship and the authenticity. To be authentic is to be of undisputed origin. That's the true meaning of authenticity. Shout out to Keith Mercurio for coining that in one of the Nexstar wake up call videos that he recorded. And so I thought and I thought and I thought, you know, I read what do you call it? The Harnish's book, The Rockefeller Scaling Up, Secrets to Success. And he said most billion-dollar companies take months, if not a year or two, to truly align on and finalize on their core values and their mission and vision statement. And it came to me when I was in Greece last year. I was like, what am I even thinking? These two words that have no translation in English should be my two top core values. And you tell me what you think about this, Katie, because if you want to steal them, please, I encourage you to. The first one is Meraki, Meraki. It is the relentless pursuit of excellence in everything you do. And Philotimo is,
Spell
it's
it.
Philotimo. So it's a profound, yeah, Philotimo. It's on the Why Us section when you scroll down
I'm going to your
on the,
cyber head, so yes.
yeah. And so I'll read it out for those listening. It's a profound Greek term that is difficult to translate directly. It represents a sense of honor, duty, and pride in doing what is right, often driven by love and respect for others. Philotimo encompasses virtues like generosity, humility, a commitment to ethical values, often tied to a deep sense of community and selflessness. It's about acting with integrity and being motivated by a higher sense of purpose. Good Lord, do I get emotional every time I read that.
I love it. I love that word. When I look at what our core values are, it really aligns. And I think, both you and I, and this is why we started, but it's about being a purpose-driven business. It's not just about, and the purpose isn't just a dollar. We love it. I love it. So, and but to your point, sorry, where we got off track,
No.
you and I could love on each other the whole time. It's we don't extend that to our members.
No.
I mean, imagine extending that out and treating our members that way. And it pays off, especially at the market we're going into. I
Yes, 100%.
mean, if you aren't doing it now, get on it because you do not have a lot of time to build that loyalty up.
If people take the time to understand the pathway of an individual who eventually becomes an experienced enough plumber, HVAC tech, electrician, any other trade, that you would trust to take care of most of the problems they could come across in a home. It usually is a 2 to 5 to 10 year journey where they have enough of a skill set where you can trust them with a truck fully loaded with hundreds of thousands of goods, depending on the trade, and driving it from home in uniforms and everything else. That's a lot. It is a privilege to drive a truck for us.
I
And
agree.
we are obligated to serve and develop our people so they can earn that privilege from us. It's a mutual relationship. But the thing that they fail to identify is in the classical sense, that entire pathway until they're good enough to use their tools and interact with a customer, their entire professional life, they are taught to just fix things, not interact, not create relationships. The only relationship that they're taught to have is with the system and the problem.
Right.
It's we bridge that gap in the culture that we create, the values that we have, and the way that we treat our customers.
Yeah, and it starts with how we treat our staff, right? Imagine if I just treat you like a problem every time you come. Oh God, what do you need? Oh God, what do you need? I mean, it's true. I think it's true.
This was a lot of fireworks, as expected. I mean, wouldn't expect anything less from an absolute legend on the show. Thank you for helping me kick this thing off. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for being my friend. And I think we gave people some incredible stuff to walk away with. And the biggest thought for me is, what can we do for them instead of treating it like a one-way abusive relationship? Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on the show, Katie.
Norris, I appreciate you very much, my friend.
I appreciate you too.
Thank you. Thanks for what you do for the trades, too.
Oh, right back at you.